Hi, friends. It's Susan Blackwell from The Spark File, your one-stop shop for creativity where our doors are open. And if you smell something delicious, that's because Laura Camion and I have been cooking up something special, something designed to make a big difference in people's creative lives. Enter The Brave Creative, a free 5-day guided adventure to rediscover the vitality, energy, and possibility in your creative process. Whether you're a writer, a performer, a baker, a candlestick maker, navigating the creative process can be a bear. But never fear, there's power in numbers at The Spark File. So let's link arms and make the trip together. It's May 13th through 17th, 7 p.m. Eastern, less than 1 hour per day. And if you can't join live, don't worry about it. You can watch the replay. Join us by going to thesparkfile.com to register. And hey, if you're not familiar with The Spark File, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Secondly, we work with hundreds of creatives of all different kinds who are ready to take their next big step. We help folks fear less and create more in a community that is so fun and vibrant. And if you have joined us before, know that we are going deep with The Brave Creative. So buckle up, Buttercup. It is going to be an awesome adventure. Go to thesparkfile.com to register, but do it soon because it all starts May 13th. Thesparkfile.com. Register now. This is part two of our conversation with Sarah Bareilles. If you haven't listened to part one, you might want to go back, give it a listen or not, you little renegade. Enjoy the show.
The Spark File podcast may contain profanity and other adult content.
Please use your discretion.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I jump it in my Spark File.
Spark File.
Could be something that I want to make or how I want to be. I pump it in my Spark File.
Spark File.
I jump into my Spark File. Let's open up the Spark File.
Do you still contend with, you've alluded to this, but like, do you contend with fear? Do you contend with performance anxiety or like writer's block or any of that jazz?
All of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell
I
us.
Think I,
please.
Yeah, I have all of the stuff. I think like a while ago, I got rid of the idea that I was going to ever just, I think at some point in my early days, I was like, oh, there's like a plateau somewhere in the future of like happy, right? Like I get to that place and then I'm like happy.
You and relax. An attainment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just doesn't, no, I'm always going to have a low grade level of anxiety and a low grade level of depression that are going to like kind of poke their noses out and need tending to. That's yeah. just going to be like a part of my routine in my life. Performance anxiety, especially if it's something that I'm out of practice of, mm-hmm. I usually yeah. it's a muscle mm-hmm. that kind of reworks itself.
How do you feel about
quickly.
A one-shot deal like hosting the Tony Awards where you're shot out of a cannon and you're like, I got one stab at this. Like, how's that for you?
It was made so much better by working with Josh Groban.
Oh.
He's just like a dear, wonderful
yes.
love friend. And
yeah.
I don't think I would have enjoyed it nearly as much if I had been doing it by myself.
That like makes
yeah. So I think again,
so
kind
sense.
Of leaning on the collaboration
yeah.
of that, the fact
yeah.
that we both kind of really didn't know what the fuck we were doing, and then the workload of just the amount of rehearsals, and then trying to create the opening number, and just like there was so much kind of frantic energy, and I think I was still in the no, I wasn't in the show. Like, well, I was doing something else at that time too, where I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How is this
you didn't have time. You had to keep moving.
Yeah.
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 Sarah, would you reflect on what you've created so far? What have you created that you're most proud of, would you say?
I think it's Waitress.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that it was such a sea change for me in
mm-hmm.
my life. And I have been, it reunited me with my very first, you know, sort of artistic love, which was musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a fulfilling experience. I mean, it made me want to tear my hair out. Don't get me wrong. It was really
yeah,
hard
yeah,
and awful at times
yeah.
too. But I think that's the thing that I've watched kind of the resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because that's what theater does in this
yeah.
most
yeah.
precious way, is that it, the storytelling of that, and watching kind of like the ripple effect of this story, which I don't claim, you know, that's Adrian Shelley, this genius who got a second life in this show. But yeah, I think that's the thing that I've made that I'm like, most good job.
Good job, you. Can you trace it back to the original spark for us? So when did it come to you? How did it come to you that you were like, I think this might be my next project?
I had just come to New York. I was on a 1 month Rumspringa.
Yes, you little Amish son of a bitch.
And I came to just have a month of fun in New York. Yeah. I was bored in LA and living very comfortably, but just kind of bored and unalive. I came to New York. I had this wildly exciting, adventurous month-long vacation. Met friends and went out and saw shows and took meetings. It's when I met my the literary agent at my agency who encouraged me to write a book. She's like, would you ever want to write a book? And I'm like, yes.
Oh my God, I forgot. That's not on the list. You're a goddamn author.
I am an author.
You've got to fuck yourself. Jesus Christ.
And that's when I met Diane Paulus, was during that month, and we had lunch.
Was it like an artistic setup, or was it just social?
No, it was an artistic setup. Okay. I wasn't aware of who she was. And then meanwhile, after the lunch, I'm like Googling, going like, should have Googled before lunch, Sarah.
You didn't Google before?
No, this is one of my issues. I am a deeply disorganized person. This is not.
I still get a ton of shit done.
I do get a ton of shit done. I'm a really hard worker, but boy, am I good on the fly.
It's working.
It's great.
So you met with Diane Paulus.
So I met with Diane. We had lunch and she told me about the film, which I had not seen. And I had been thinking that I would be pursuing a theatrical opportunity as an artist, like to step on stage as an actor. And the idea that it was like, do you want to be involved as a composer, someone behind the scenes? Mm. That was really curious and scary and interesting to me. Mm. And I said, let me think about it. And I watched the movie and it was just this kind of, it just felt like an experiment. I was very open with her about saying, like, I don't know that I can do this, but I'm willing to entertain the idea. So let's just be honest with each other. If we get down the road a little bit, doesn't feel good, doesn't work, we just shake hands and move on. But then I didn't like it until almost a year and a half into the show.
The work you were making?
I didn't like what was happening. I didn't like the process. I didn't like the stuff I was making.
Really?
I felt really disconnected.
What
couldn't tell if it was good or not. There just was this moment. I actually remember talking to my friend Andre Catrini, who's a wonderful Broadway composer or theater composer as well. And will eventually be on Broadway. Sorry, did I mess up this stuff?
You broke the podcast.
And then we were just talking about the songs of the show. And I think we had even done a first iteration of a little workshop or a reading at that point. And I just realized in the moment, I was like, oh, I guess I care about this now. Like I actually really care about this. I think it felt like this very opaque thing for me for a long time.
I just want to underscore this, that you just went from like a year and a half of like, I don't really like this, to it being your favorite thing you've ever made thus far.
Yeah.
I just want, for anyone listening, who gives a shit, like that's a big turn.
Oh, I just wanted to, that is a lesson that I felt, now the book, writing this book of essays was kind of happening concurrently. And that is the biggest lesson I took from that, is that you can love something that's really difficult. You can love something you make that kicks your ass. And that was the thing, because I hated writing the book. I hated it. Hated it more than I hated anything.
Yeah.
And then I got to the end and I was like, wow.
Look at this book.
And I just like really love the thing that came out, but I hated
the process
making
was tough.
It.
Yes. And if we stop when we feel uncomfortable, nothing gets made. You know, we would also, none of these amazing works that we feel proud of ultimately would ever happen if we stopped every time we felt, you know, like an uncomfortable feeling or a sad feeling or a depressed feeling or a disconnected feeling. We talk about that a lot in our workshops, of like, you have to go through that to the other side. You know, if we stopped every time it felt
that's right.
Meh.
That's great. I'm going rogue. Yeah,
do it.
Is there a place where you look for creative inspiration? Like, are you just always sort of like on the lookout for potential like hooks, lyrics? Like, is there any place that are you doing this consciously? Is it always running in the background?
I think it's kind of it's a more of a subconscious thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have the Spark Files for me. Like I don't have that thing that I go back to. I'm very kind of in the moment, like sort of open the portal and see what comes through.
But you also said you're good on the fly.
Yeah.
And I've heard you say, like, you'll just be like, I'm going to put my hands on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to lay them down and see what little plink plonks come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that that's actually the best mode of operation, but it is kind of
that tasty disorganization though.
Tasty disorg.
That's right. What is one of the biggest failures or challenges that you, besides that song you sang for your high school class, but it might be that like a big challenge or failure that you faced, and how have you processed it?
Well, I mean, now that we're talking about that one, that felt like a really important, even though I was such a little bebé, but
it's formative though.
It was really formative. Yeah. And I think it scared me, and it took a long time to kind of be willing to be bad in front of people. Yeah. That was another thing that was really cathartic about the waitress process, was that you had to be willing, you had to share early and share often, you know, so it's like not being precious about the ideas and allowing something to not be the right idea, hence the song about the dancing sperm singing "Please Have Sex With Me." That was an actual song that is written, and someone had to sing at a reading. Ben Thompson, sorry about that.
Thanks Ben.
I really went for sorry it. About it.
And then how do you process it? Like, how do you, for people out there, we're talking a lot about like being brave and doing these things and doing it even when it feels meh. Like, how do you process it?
Very openly. I think that is the thing that I will say that I am good at. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm great at stuff or that things have always gone well. Yeah. I really lean on sharing vulnerability and sharing failures and insecurities. Like, that's a part of my currency with my fan base. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, that everything on the inside here is, you know,
easy breezy.
Yeah. So self-expressed and authentic.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a good prescription.
Is there a creative thing that you know you need to do before you're done?
Ooh, I think it's animation.
Oh my God.
Collective gasp.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be. It's because it's perfect.
It would be really a deep delight.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
Composing.
There's no
performing,
doubt.
Performing.
All of it.
All of it.
I want to sing it. And I want to make
you
it.
You heard it here first. I want to see cartoon version of you as, I don't know, animal, space alien. I don't know. But
that would be really fun, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We touched on this earlier a tiny, tiny bit. What's it all for?
Other people.
Come on, Sarah Bowles.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I have always been really, really passionate about young women and that demographic in particular, and wanting to be a voice of empowerment and acceptance and just reminding young women in particular, even though I also feel this way about young men. I feel this way about everybody. I just want everyone to be happy. Why are we all so upset all the time? But especially young women. And it's a really exciting time to be alive and to be a feminist, because I think there's so much incredible sort of strengthening that's occurring on the macro level. But I want people to feel seen and to feel not alone. That's what I want.
Word.
finally, what, who?
I mean, money. It's all from money. I'm sorry. What did I say? Yeah. That was
the bags and bags of money. Finally, what or who is sparking you these days?
Judy Sill.
Tell us more.
Yeah. Do you know who Judy Sill is?
No.
Okay. Judy Sill is a songwriter in the 70s. She sort of is the, she came up in Laurel Canyon days, yeah, and she was
so sexy.
The sort of lesser known, kind of not that successful commercially. She was on, David Geffen signed her, and it was like Carole King and Joni Mitchell were her contemporaries, but she kind of didn't quite catch fire at that time. But she wrote these incredible, peculiar, really unique songs. Her voice is really unique and sort of strange. And
is there a place we should start?
You should start with a song called The Kiss, which I think is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. She's a remarkable person. She had a really disruptive childhood, ended up in reform school, played in the church choir there, and that's where she learned all these, like, she's an incredible piano player, all these gospel licks that she learned. Then she got involved in a bunch of armed robberies.
Stop talking.
And then
stop
the money. And
stop.
Then
shh, I want to do this as a bark. Act like you
no,
didn't hear it, Cameron.
No.
You got to fuck yourself. This is such a good spark.
This is so
it's such a good.
Good
spark.
You guys, it goes on from there.
Here's a spark. Well, tell us more, I got a spark for you. Go ahead.
And but then with the money she would get from the armed robberies, she would go like
robberies,
multiple,
like a career in it.
And then she became a prostitute because she was so poor.
No. I think sex worker is the word you're looking for, but yes.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Oh, no. It's okay. We're all learning. We're all learning.
Tell me.
I just think sex worker is the term that we're using now.
I had no idea.
That's okay, because we're all learning. We're all learning.
Jeez. Sorry if that was offensive at all. Then she was bisexual. She then was really critical of David Geffen and said horrible things about him on stage. And then he found out and he fired her.
That wouldn't end well.
She was a heroin addict, and then she overdosed. And what? They don't know. There's a mystery about whether or not it was a suicide.
Are you doing something with this?
This is the spark back to you.
I don't know.
Okay.
I would like to.
Okay.
I think about like a film or something.
Yeah. You, yes.
Put this. Get a goddamn spark file. Get organized, Sarah Bareilles. We're going to get you a spark file, sweetie.
We'll send you one.
And you write this. Judy Sill.
Yes.
Write it on the first page.
Okay.
Judy Sill.
Yeah.
Do you look anything like her? Could you look anything like
her? I think I could.
I'm liking this for you.
I'm liking it for me too.
I need you to get this Academy Award.
Okay.
I need you to EGOT on this one.
Oh, yes.
Well done.
Yes. We have to say thank you and goodbye now. Thank you so much.
You're
like
welcome.
For spending this time with us.
We love you, Sarah Bareilles.
Thank you for making something delicious for the creative mind.
Fingers crossed. That's it. We hope that this put another bunch of sparks in your file. If there is a spark you'd like us to explore, like Judy Sill, Jesus Christ. Or if you've taken a spark and fanned it into a creative flame, like Judy Sill, Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to share that with us, email us at thesparkfile@gmail.com or submit it through our website, thesparkfile.com.
We will even take your feedback, but you know the price of admission. First, you got to share a creative risk that you have taken recently.
We're not playing about that. Mm-mm. And be sure to subscribe to this delicious podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, 5-star review it. If you like this podcast, share it with people that you love. If you didn't like it, share it with your weird nephew. I'm going to bet you cash money he loves it.
If something tickles your fancy and gets your creative juices flowing, we're writing you a forever permission slip to make that thing that's knocking at your door. It's your turn to take a spark and fan it into a flame.
You got to minor chord it. You got to soundboard it. You got to record it. And then you got to export it.
You got to take it.
And make it.
Bye, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, we love you.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my spark file. Could be something that I wanna make or how I wanna be. I pump it in my spark file. I
jump into my spark fire.
Spark fire.
Let's open up the spark fire.
Hi, friends. It's Susan Blackwell from The Spark File, your one-stop shop for creativity where our doors are open. And if you smell something delicious, that's because Laura Camion and I have been cooking up something special, something designed to make a big difference in people's creative lives. Enter The Brave Creative, a free 5-day guided adventure to rediscover the vitality, energy, and possibility in your creative process. Whether you're a writer, a performer, a baker, a candlestick maker, navigating the creative process can be a bear. But never fear, there's power in numbers at The Spark File. So let's link arms and make the trip together. It's May 13th through 17th, 7 p.m. Eastern, less than 1 hour per day. And if you can't join live, don't worry about it. You can watch the replay. Join us by going to thesparkfile.com to register. And hey, if you're not familiar with The Spark File, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Secondly, we work with hundreds of creatives of all different kinds who are ready to take their next big step. We help folks fear less and create more in a community that is so fun and vibrant. And if you have joined us before, know that we are going deep with The Brave Creative. So buckle up, Buttercup. It is going to be an awesome adventure. Go to thesparkfile.com to register, but do it soon because it all starts May 13th. Thesparkfile.com. Register now.